How did it happen so fast? Shameful. 15.3 Tableau. Setting. A man sitting in his basement with a map pinned to the wall behind him. The map shows Europe, with homemade flags stuck in it. One pin, France, is obviously larger than the others, but it is surrounded by smaller flags with swastikas on them. The man has his head in his hands. Password B. The man in this scene is Henri Lafayette de Bouchard. He is French-American. He brought his family to the United States several years ago because of business contacts. At the moment, he is overwhelmed with emotions. He has been following the world news closely on the radio, but he also is a shortwave radio operator. Through a channel of other operators, he has been able to keep in contact with family back in France up until yesterday. Now he is worried sick about his two uncles, Pierre and Louis, his sister, Yvette, and their families. Are they run over by the German war machine? Will they be forced into slave labor like the Jews and Poles before them? The events of the past 2 years happened so fast that they would blur in the minds of people who weren't familiar with European geography. Henri has traveled extensively with his business. He can picture each place distinctly. In March of 1938, he held his breath as he heard Edward Murrow's report from Vienna as the German stormtroopers and tanks invaded. He remembers the beautiful cathedral, Stephenson, the soothing and haunting strains of Capellas Arias from the Vienna Boys Choir stand out in sharp contrast to the hobnailed boots punctuating the streets in a driven rhythm. Murrow declared that all major buildings had its own armed guard, and he prayed the faithful of that city would be allowed to worship freely, without hindrance by soldiers. He looks back on that day full of shame as he thinks how his own homeland thought that Hitler would be appeased and stopped there. In September of that same year came the overthrow of Czechoslovakia with its quaint mountain villages and home-loving, quiet people. Henri, his father, and two uncles had been there when he was a boy on a hunting and fishing expedition. The hunting had been worthless, but the fishing in the beautiful Danube River was excellent. Henri remembers the taste of those fish cooked over an open fire on the riverbank and believes that no fish ever tasted better. But that is a child's memory. Henri cringes now that the thought of how the British and French sold out that beautiful little country at Munich, allowing the last surviving democracy in Eastern Europe to fall in trade for their own protection. Shameful. The Czechs, with their fortresses and well-equipped army, could have held out until help arrived, but they never got a chance to prove their prowess. It all happened too fast. A year later, when Hitler invaded Poland, Henri was confident that Britain and France would finally do something. They warned Hitler and then set their military-industrial complexes whirling. But the Poles didn't have a chance against Blitzkrieg and the Luftwaffe. When Warsaw fell, so did the magnificent monuments and memorials to many historical figures. Henri is glad that he and his wife spent their honeymoon there, as the two of them appreciate man-made and natural wonders such as the inland dunes just northwest of town. He is sure they were overrun by the panzer divisions that spearheaded the lightning-fast forces of the Germans. The Germans didn't care what wreckage they caused. They were just in a hurry to get to the next victory. He wonders if the castle to the Teutonic Knights is still standing. It dominated landscapes from the Vistula River boat cruise that he and his wife took. He also wonders if the Germans spared the Church of St. John, where Copernicus was baptized and taught. He imagines the smells, gingerbread, baked in medieval molds from traditional recipes dating back as far as the 13th century. He is sure that the land will never be the same, and that makes him sad. Henri had not traveled to the Scandinavian countries, so he cannot picture Denmark and Norway as others than a cold, snowy place. But after the conquest of them, when Hitler turned his attention to the low countries of Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, he knew it wouldn't be long before his beloved motherland would be next. It was all happening so fast. It is shocking that a gap in the Ardennes forest allowed the German forces to sweep through without any resistance to speak of. His countrymen had placed all their trust in the Maginot Line, a series of forts intertwined with trenches and concrete bunkers to protect them. The experts from the Great War declared that their heavily armored guns with interlacing fields of fire were impregnable. But instead, the mighty French soldiers found that they had no mobility. They were cut off from the rest of the country and literally starved to death. The defeat was unthinkable. To be occupied by the Germans was despicable. Nothing could be more disgraceful to the French. The Germans had swept the French, and even the British who had come to help, to the sea like so many clods of dirt swept from the basement floor. Like the sands along the beaches of Dunkirk, the British and French had tremendous numbers of men and weapons. What they didn't have was planning and organization. Shameful. A country that prides itself on a history centuries old, that has fought in more wars than it can count, should have done better for itself than that. Now, with the German occupation, France lies in disgrace, in shame. It is almost too much to bear. If it weren't for concerns over family left behind, Henri would renounce his French blood and turn his back on his motherland. He would go upstairs and close the basement door, not to open it again until the war is over. However, he still has family there, and out of loyalty and concern for them, he keeps the shortwave radio on, anxious to hear any news that may give him clues or hints that the shameful fiasco is over. But he truly wonders to himself, how did it happen so fast? Password 9.